I don't know how many. How many are up there now? There's got to be a dozen of them, right?
I would probably say more like dozens. There's a great app if you have an iPhone called SatSat, S-A-T-S-A-T, and it tells you when they're coming over, and it lists the uplink and the downlink frequencies, and it also lists the Doppler shift for 70 centimeters, so you can know where you need to be tuned in to hear them. Some of them are flipped where you transmit on 70 centimeters and then listen on 2 meters, and some of them are 2 meters up and 70 centimeters down. So, you know, you get all the information right in that app and get an alert when so I get an alert every time a satellite's going overhead. I think the space station's going over now or maybe 10 minutes ago, something like that.
Really? Oh, I usually get a message, you know, I usually notify me when I get that. I have the ISS detector, and they have the amateur satellites, too, but they want you to pay extra, you know, for these things. But the ISS thing is free, and I'll have to check my way. They usually give me a five-minute notice before the space station goes overhead. That's the one I use, the ISS detector, and I'll have to check why that didn't notify me. Back to you. I forgot your name and call. This is WSUN, and again, my name is Paul.
Thanks, Paul. My name is Stefan. It's W2THB. I also have ISS detector, but it doesn't list all of the overhead passes, so I got this other one called SatSat, and actually, right now, the ISS is overhead here in Lindenhurst, New York. It is going to be line of sight for the next 4 minutes. And I actually, if you listen on 145.8, you should be able to hear some people making QSOs right now.
Very good. Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, they're doing that now, but let's see. I'm bringing up my ISS detector now. And oh, they made changes. Oh, great. what do you got to do? Close. What do we got? Oh, I see Ron Kakama. That's me. Why is this coming up? Okay, it's showing over it's going to be a short pass. Between the, it's northeast, so it's only going to be a very short pass. That means it's very low in altitude. Start time I'm showing. I don't know. I got to look further into this. Something's a little off here. But we'll check it out. But very good. Thanks. Hope you see the space station. I've seen it before. Best one I ever saw was 3.5 magnitude, minus 3.5 magnitude. That was really bright. Back to you, Stefan.
Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate you answering my questions, and it's great talking to you. I'm going to get to bed, but have a great night, and thanks for doing the net, 73.
All right, very good. Thanks for the question and the information as well. Stefan, have a good night. Have a very good night. W2THB, WS2N. Any other comments or questions? Okay, there's a couple other things that we cover, but it's really only one that I find interesting. Next week they're going to have an Electron rocket, which is built by a rocket lab launched from Europe, New Zealand, the North Island of New Zealand. Rocket Lab is the company. They launch these relatively small rockets, but they can get like 500-600 pounds into orbit. And they do a lot of these small satellites. They've launched some amateur satellites as well. And this is their 15th rocket launch over the last year and a half or so, maybe 2 years. And this is one that they're going to first see if they could reuse the rocket. Initially, they never planned on reusing them, but then they thought about it, and they said, well, maybe we can. this one, after putting the payload into space next week, they're going to have this thing deorbit, similar to what SpaceX does, turn around and deorbit through the atmosphere. But this one's not going to have engines reigniting. It's got some kind of a heat shield, and it's going to fly through the atmosphere. And with some parachutes, and I think it's going to land in the Pacific Ocean, and I'm going to fish it out of the water and see if it's reusable. And then if that works in the future, they plan on flying with a helicopter and catching this paragliding type parachute with a hook from a helicopter. And then this way it won't land in the water. You know, seawater is not good for launch vehicles. They try to avoid that. And they'll put the booster onto a ship, and the ship will eventually float it back to shore for reusability. Now, these are small. You know, you're not going to launch people with these. You know, they still get, you know, 500 to 600 pounds up into space. So apparently there's a big market for smaller satellites. So that's all I'm going to cover for this evening. Thank everybody that stood by and listened to me, and Roy and everybody. So we'll turn back to Roy for the conclusion of the TACNET. And let's see, tomorrow night is Monday, so they have the Limoc has the Club InfoNet on these repeaters at 8:30. Not 8 o'clock, 8:30. Back to you, Roy. AC2GS, WS2M.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thanks to everyone who participated tonight. It's you guys that make or break a technical net, and I'm glad I have you. So please, come back next Sunday when we'll do it all over again. Hopefully next Sunday Andy will bring back Andy's Corner. We'll see. I want to remind everyone that if you have any mailbag questions, any topics you would like to hear discussed, any puzzles you'd like to share, or you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder and ask him to take a look at a space story, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. The link page to a couple of interesting articles is available. Just type into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to my link page. And as always, Mike, KC2NJI, maintains an archive site that archives the technical net going back all the way to September of 2006. So please take a look at it and listen a bit. It's very entertaining and very informative. And as a bit of wisdom from one of the wisest men that I know, Dick K2RIW, he almost always ended his tech nets with the line, or a very similar line, be kind to each other. And if there was ever a bit of suggestion that's a great suggestion, this is it, especially now with, unfortunately, the COVID-19 virus. It's kind of growing in numbers. We're watching it increase in case incidents. And unfortunately, if you give it 2-3 weeks, you also will see the death rate go up. It's not quite as severe as it was originally, because medical science has learned a few tricks of dealing with it. But please be safe. Be smart about it all. Don't deny it, but don't live in fear. Be safe, and I wish you all a good week, and I hope we'll all be back together again next Sunday to do this all again. And as a little side note to election, God bless America. This is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
U.S. 2N from WB2BXO is Houston to win.
WB2BXO, go ahead. How you doing?
Yeah, I sent the V-Launch through the Echo Link chat a little while ago. but I realized you guys might not have seen them. My understanding is that there's already an MOU between the ARRL and NASA to put a 5 and dime, 5 gigahertz up, 10 gigahertz down station on the Lunar Gateway. So that is presumably already in work, presuming this whole project ever really happens. That's my understanding anyway.
Okay, you got a little low when you said the frequency, say 5 gig.
Yes, sorry about that. I probably covered the microphone. I think what I read or what I heard on ARRL Audio News a while back was that it was going to be 5 gigahertz up and 10 gigahertz down was what they are thinking of. Or what AMSAT calls the 5 and dime frequencies for some strange reason.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that yet. But yeah, they're going to have it on Gateway. Okay, well, that's good. That's just as good. We want one on the moon when they have a permanent base, though. From Shackleton Crater, from the South Pole. That's where it will be when they do it. But we'll take the Gateway, and from what I see, the Gateway is still in question. You know, it's never been really funded yet. So they've got to work through the political nightmare to get this thing funded. And, enough science guys get elected. Maybe they'll do something. We got Mark Kelly in there. Mark Kelly, astronaut. He's from Arizona. So he made it to Congress. So it's a step in the right direction. All we need is for the Senate. All we need is 99 more. The senators we used to have aren't there anymore. Nelson, Glenn. So we just need 99 more. Back to you.
Yeah, well, the big aerospace contractors with lots of lobbyists all want to play, so they're pushing to get funding. In fact, one design I think that SpaceX likes to deride is the Lobby Lander. That is one designed by lobbyists to give all the aerospace companies money. So there is some push to do it. I mean, my guess would be that the Biden administration will delay funding any of this stuff until the pandemic is controlled, because it'll just look bad politically to spend money on it, even though the percentage would probably be small. I mean, that's my educated guess anyway. Another thing that's coming up is I think SpaceX is supposed to be doing the first test flight of its Starship this week. There are YouTube updates on that a couple of times a week there.
Yeah, I follow the Starship thing pretty good, but last I heard, which was probably a couple of days ago, is they were going to definitely delay Starship until at least after the launch of the crew to the space station. You know, they're going to launch the former astronauts this Saturday night. And so sometime after that, so maybe we have at least a week. So maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks is the earliest they'll be ready to test that setup. They wanted to do one or two more static fire tests, where you light off all three engines and shut them right down again. They wanted to do one or two more of them, I heard. So, I don't know. I'm guessing at least 2 weeks down the road. we'll see. I want to see this thing. Well, you're following it. I want to see this thing take off from Boca Chica, Texas. Go 50,000 feet in the air, you know, to above where the airplane fly, the jet plane, and have this thing come flying down like a belly flop through the atmosphere, and then try to reuse it. It'll get right down to the launch facility and have a landing pad. And I want to see the back end come all the way straight forward in the down position, with the engine pointing down, and have this thing land safely. I don't know. If it doesn't work out, I know he's got a lot more that he's building in Texas. If the thing crashes, he won't have to wait too long to try again. Back to you.
Yeah, I think it's given, what, a 50-50 chance of digging a deep hole in their spaceport. And I think he said, if that happens, we're going to fill in the hole and try it again.
Yeah, he will. He does, that's exactly what he does. You know, instead of, does is they build every part, they test every part. You know, this guy does everything on the fly. You know, that's good enough. Let's fly it. If we have to make a change, we'll just do it on the next one. It's nice to have money. This guy's burning through money left and right. It's not even making any money. You know. There's a lot of rocket companies that go into business that take forever before they can make money on it. But this particular rocket is not making money. There's other rockets, but, you know, Falcon 9 is, you know, he's making a fortune, not only from NASA, but from all these other private companies in different countries he's launching satellites for. So at least that's got revenue for him. Back to you.
Casey, want to say I'm quicken?
Hi, Sam. We ended the net, so we're just going back and forth here. How you doing, Sam?
Dude, I don't want to step on the other station. I'll let him come back, and then I'll come back if he's in there.
Yeah. I just watched the latest Starlink launch this afternoon. I guess that was actually launched last night or the night before. Yeah, it's kind of amazing the way they're launching those things and bringing the boosters right back. And I think the plan eventually is to bring the second stage boosters back rather than just let them burn up too and get... I mean, the economics of spaceflight obviously make a lot more sense when you keep reusing the same boosters and the same vehicles rather than just throwing them away. Anyway, what's the other amusing thing? You probably saw the stir SpaceX made by putting into the Starlink users agreement that service on the planet Mars will not be subject to any Earth government because Mars colonies will be independent. I would guess that's a trial balloon. I mean, nobody really cares when Mars colony is at a minimum 10 years away, but it's certainly an issue that's going to have to be dealt with at some place. Right now, it's just kind of amusing.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Oh, that's what we need is more politics. Not here, but on Mars. We need that. Wow. Yeah, it will have to be dealt with. But good luck with that. Sam, over to you. W1, S-A-M, W-S-2-1.
Yes, yeah, that's what we need. Casey, when I see him. Quick question. I was looking at the video, in fact, just to confirm what I thought I saw. Osiris Rex launch, there are these four huge towers, much taller than the rocket itself. Top of the towers have these, look like tall white cylinders. I thought maybe there was some kind of a support or something, but they don't, they're not attached to anything. What are those towers for?
Yeah, you see them real good, especially at night launches. You can see the reflection off of not only the towers, but as it goes through, you look from tower to tower to tower, all four towers. You'll see a cable, a wire going from each one. They have them all tied in. So you're actually going through a box. So it's for lightning. Lightning comes by, it's going to hit those towers, and it's not going to hit your rocket. But if you look at European Space Agency, same thing, four towers. If you look at polar satellite launch vehicle, PSLV, vehicles that launch from out of India, the same thing. They all have these. They look like big radio towers. So that's what it is. And some of them really shine good. You know, especially on a night launch. Osiris Rex that went up on an Atlas V rocket with one booster attached. So that was a 4-4-1 launch, 4-foot 4-meter, 4-meter diameter bearing for the spacecraft itself. And then the 4-1-1 system. The one was for one solid booster, and then the second one is for the second stage Centaur rocket. So that was. So yeah, apparently you could see that very good, right? So that's what that is, and you see that on all the ones. You didn't see it with the shuttle. The shuttle had this one big pipe sticking out of the launch tower, the tower itself. And that was pretty much it. But since then, they've all gone with the system, these four big towers surrounding the rocket. Back to you, Sam.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm looking at it now, actually. I just noticed that when, you know, the everything was in the news about Osiris Rex, about to launch again, everything. I'm looking at it right now on the NASA site just to make sure what I saw. Yeah, okay, so lightning rods, basically. Yeah, you can't see the wire in the video that I'm looking at right now. So it was a daytime launch. But, yeah, all right. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all. All right. Appreciate it. Good back to you. And if I listen real close, I can hear my pillow calling me. So, thank you very much, Paul Casey, when I say him. I'll be clear.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to turn in myself. I got to go. But, if you bring up pictures, you know, put in pictures, Bing, or anything with pictures, you put lightning rod towers for let's say the Atlas V rocket. You know, you see a million pictures, and you sort of, you know, one of them's going to pop up, at least one. But that's going to show you the interconnecting wires between each one. I was always amazed that they never get burnt out. You know, the thing goes flying through the middle of it, and never a problem. Let me go back to BXL, WB2BXL. WSLN, now I'm going to sign. Back to you.
Yeah, that, the Osiris Rex thing, I watched a couple of those videos that snatched the, rocks off the asteroid and eventually going to fly them back here. That's pretty amazing. You'll learn a lot from that. Take a couple of years to get back here, and then they got to have to retrieve the stuff. That's going to be interesting. Yeah, the thing about the Mars colonies, I actually sent that as a tweet to AOC. figuring and said, hey, why don't you save this for a couple of years? This is an issue you're going to have to deal with when you're a senior leader down the road. I'm glad somebody's starting to think about those issues because, it's not something to worry about now, but it's gonna be an issue down the road. Anyway, 73. Paul, thanks. Great job. And Roy, if you're listening, great job again also. Enjoy the net every week. WB2BXO via Echo Link.
Good. And once again, we're going to have to remind ourselves, and well, I am anyway, to unkey for a while and let the Echo Link people in. Old habits by heart. 73 and Sam 73. Anybody else listening? We'll catch you next week, if not sooner. WS2, I'm clear.
Night.